The Result of Sin, Chapter 48, Joshua 7 and 8. Over the ruins of the once big city of Jericho, a man is stealthily climbing. He must climb over piles of stones. Suddenly, he sees something glittering under the stones. Inquisitively, he stoops, picks it up, and finds he has a lump of silver in his hands. "Oh," he thinks, "I wish this silver belonged to me." He did not desire to bring it to the tabernacle and give it to the priests. He feels he found it honestly. Do you know what? He decides to keep it. Shyly, he looks around to see if anyone is near. No, he is all alone. No one sees what he is doing. He hastily hides it under his clothing and quickly leaves this place. Suddenly, he again stands still. There before his feet lies a beautiful garment. We would say a nice jacket. It was a garment which had been made in Babylon. Travelers had brought it from that country and had sold it to someone as they journeyed through Jericho. This man quickly picks up this garment and hides it with the silver. Still, he is not satisfied, for when he sees a wedge of gold, he also picks this up. This is the third thing he takes. This man was an Israelite by the name of Achan. What Achan did was not permitted, for the Lord had said to Joshua that the first city was for God. The city had to be burned. It was not allowed to be rebuilt, and all the gold and silver that would be found there had to be brought to the tabernacle. Achan, you know that, don't you? You also heard it, didn't you? Of course, Achan knew it very well. But he had such a desire for it that he took it anyway. No one saw him do it, isn't that right? That is true. Achan, you were all alone, and no person saw what you did. However, one thing you have forgotten, Achan, God saw it. He sees everything. But Achan did not think of that. And, boys and girls, most of the time you do not think of that either. If you do something wrong at school or at home, and if your teacher or your father or mother do not see you, then you are at ease. Oh, that is bad, for you can never deceive the Lord. He sees everything. He hears everything. He knows everything, and he remembers everything too. Consider that seriously. Behold, there goes Achan to his tent. He has the stolen goods hidden under his clothing, so that no one can see anything of them. A voice does warn him within, "Achan, don't do it. Bring it to Joshua." But he shakes his head and will not listen. If you want to do something wrong, then that voice also warns you. That voice is your conscience. Do you listen to it? Achan enters his tent. He tells his wife and children and shows them everything. They all think it very nice. The silver, the golden wedge, and the Babylonish garment are splendid. They all hold it for a while. Together they dig a hole in the center of their tent. They lay these things in the hole, throw the sand over them, and stamp the dirt down so that nothing can be seen. Now then, that has been done cleverly, and no one knows it. No one. "Flee! Flee!" A hoarse cry rings out suddenly, and the speaker runs away as fast as he can. Others hear this voice and also flee. It isn't long before everyone is running. Who is running away so fast? They are soldiers of the Israelites. But why do the Israelites flee? What has happened? Ah, a few days after Jericho was conquered and laid waste, Joshua sent out some men to spy further into the land. Not very far from Jericho lay the little city of Ai. These men slyly walked around the city, looked at everything, and then returned to Joshua. "Tell us," Joshua asked, "what did you see?" "Not far from here lies a little city," they answered. "It is not necessary for all the people or all the soldiers to go against it. An army of 2,000 or 3,000 men is sufficient. The remaining soldiers can rest. We will be able to defeat that little city easily." So Joshua chooses 3,000 men to march against Ai in battle. The others wait for their return. No one doubts but that their brethren will obtain the victory. Didn't God promise that He would help them? They were helped at Jericho, and they expect the same at Ai. They depend upon it. But the Lord does not help. The little army which must conquer Ai is defeated and flees. Soon the first ones come running into the camp. Large drops of sweat sparkle upon their foreheads. 3,000 men, full of courage and expecting to win, went away early that morning. But 3,000 did not return. When Joshua counts them, there are 36 soldiers missing. They do not return, for they are lying in the open fields, slain by the inhabitants of Ai. Joshua frightens when he hears this. Oh, he thinks, the Canaanites will also hear this, and they will see that we are not unconquerable, and they will combine together and surround us. And if that happens, all of us will be slain. We should have remained on the other side Jordan, in the land of Sihon and Og. Cold sweat breaks out on him with this thought. He goes to the tabernacle and falls upon the ground. He rends his clothes as a sign of grief. Oh, Lord, he prays, what must we do? Why hast thou not helped us? Thou hast promised that, hast thou not, Lord? Help us, help us. And the Lord answers Joshua and says, I will not help you from now on. You will be defeated in all places. There is a thief in the army, and as long as this thief lives, I will not give you any victories. If you will kill this thief, then I will help you again. Joshua is amazed. A thief? He did not know that. Who is he? He asks. The Lord says, stand up. Tell the people that they must assemble tomorrow, and I will show who the thief is. You do not know who the thief is, but I know very well. I am omniscient. Joshua did as the Lord commanded, and on the following morning the Israelites come together. Everyone is frightened and wonders who did wrong. Who could it be? Who did it? They ask each other. But no one can give an answer to these questions. Achan also stands among them. Achan knows who did it, for he himself is the thief. But he says nothing. No, no, he thinks, I'll tell nothing. I'll not open my mouth. No one saw it. No one knows anything. They can never find that out. Probably someone else will get the blame, and then I am free. Have you ever done that? Have you ever performed an ugly trick, and if it were found out, you kept silent? Has someone else ever been punished in your place while you really deserved it? If that is true, then it is cowardly. That is much worse than the wicked trick itself? No, you ought to be honest and come out frankly for the truth. However, Achan did not do this. He was silent and waited for the outcome. Still, his heart pounded and he trembled somewhat. They cast the lot. The Lord governed it so that the tribe of Judah was taken. That is to say, that tribe was singled out. So, the thief was among the tribe of Judah. All the other tribes were free. However, the tribe of Judah was so large that it consisted of thousands upon thousands of people. But that is nothing. They again cast the lot. Then the kindred of Achan was taken. Then the father of Achan with his family. Finally, the lot fell upon Achan himself. O Achan, you can deceive the people, but you cannot deceive God. Achan only was chosen as the guilty one, as the thief. There he stands. How ashamed he is. He blushes and becomes red. All the people look at him. Could he but creep away? But he cannot. His eyes are cast down, and the cold perspiration breaks out upon him. My son, Joshua asks with a serious voice, what did you do? No longer hide it, for it will do you no good. Tell it honestly. Yes, Achan no longer dares to be silent. He tells everything. Also where he hid the ornaments. Go and get them immediately, Joshua commands a few Israelites. They immediately obey. A little later they return. Behold, they lay down before Joshua the silver, the golden wedge, and the Babylonish garment. It is very quiet and tense. Everyone holds his breath. What will be the outcome? At the signal of Joshua, they take the thief, not only Achan, but also his wife and children, for they too are guilty. They knew about it, and neither did they say anything, so they too helped in this crime. With indignation, Joshua says to Achan, "You have troubled Israel. By your transgression, Israel suffered defeat, and it is your fault that 36 men of our nation were killed in the battle. But the Lord will trouble you. Now you will be punished." Achan and his entire family, with all his possessions, are taken away to a solitary place between the mountains in a valley. And then, dreadful, I hardly dare tell you. They stone Achan and his wife and children. That means they throw stones at them till they are dead. After that, they take a large heap of combustible material and burn their bodies upon that. Their sheep and oxen also are burned after they are stabbed to death. When everything is burned, they throw a large pile of stones over it, so that it becomes a great heap. The Israelites then silently return to their tents, deeply impressed by what has taken place. At the same time, and this has been a serious warning for everyone. This was a heavy, heavy punishment, don't you think so? Now Achan, with his entire family, must suddenly appear before God to give an account of what they have done. Was that so terrible, what Achan did? Wasn't the punishment too severe? No, the punishment was justly deserved. Achan did not steal from the people, but from God. All the gold and silver of Jericho belonged to God. Therefore, Achan with his family was stoned to death. Achan had to die this cruel death for stealing from God. God does not permit himself to be mocked. Do you ever steal anything from the Lord? I already hear you ask in astonishment, how can we do that? Yes, you really can do that. Listen. For example, if your mother gives you a dime or quarter on Sunday to put in the church collection plate, then your mother gives that money to the Lord. If you secretly keep that money and spend it, then you do exactly the same as Achan. Did that ever happen, boys and girls? Did you ever do that? Remember, God knows everything. Oh, that is terrible, for the same God still lives. Do you think the Lord will not punish it? Then you are mistaken. That is a dreadful mistake. Oh, never, never do it. And if you have done it, then tell your father or mother and ask if you can take it out of your savings bank. Give it immediately the next Sunday. Do not delay, for there is always the possibility it would be too late. Will you promise that? Flee, flee. The soldiers of Israel run away as fast as they can. The inhabitants of the little city of Ai run after them. They are laughing, singing, and yelling. Ah, this is good. This is the second time that the Israelites run in flight, and this time it is not a small army of 3,000, but the entire army. They will teach them a lesson, those foreign intruders. Slay them, slay them. What are they doing in our land? And everyone who can in any way pursue them runs after the fleeing Israelites. They leave the gates stand wide open. They have no time to lock them. Neither is it necessary, for who otherwise would do them any harm? Further and further they run from the city. What is this? Do the Israelites flee again? Is there still another thief? Doesn't the Lord help them again? So it seems, but it is not so. For in the fields, secretly waiting on the other side of the city of Ai, lie 5,000 Israelite soldiers. But the inhabitants of Ai do not know this. They think that the complete army of the Israelites is fleeing, and they think it is a real flight. See them doing their very best to catch up to the enemy. They run as fast as they can. After a while, Joshua stands still and extends his spear toward Ai. Suddenly, the Israelites do not flee anymore, but to the great astonishment of the inhabitants of Ai, they turn around. Something else happens. The 5,000 soldiers who lay hidden in the fields behind the city stand up and go hastily to Ai. The gates are wide open, and no one stops them because no one is there. They walk into the city and set fire to the houses. Heavy clouds of smoke rise upwards, and soon the flames crackle and roar in all places. When the soldiers of the city of Ai look around, they see that their city is on fire. They frighten exceedingly, become terrified, and come into confusion. Suddenly they begin to flee, but they cannot flee anymore, for the 5,000 soldiers who have set fire to the city of Ai have come straight through the city and fall upon the army of Ai from the rear. Neither do Joshua and his soldiers flee anymore. Their running away was a trick to draw away the people from their city. The inhabitants of Ai have the enemy in front and behind them. They are surrounded and every one of them is slain. Their entire army, every soldier, perish in the battle. They take the king of Ai alive, that is to say, they capture him and bring him to Joshua, their brave leader. However, Joshua causes him to be hanged, so he also died. Then all the Israelites go to Ai and take everything away, all the gold and silver, and all the oxen and sheep which they find are for them. They may now keep these things. O Achan, you should have waited. You would now be able to take as much as you could carry. It would not be necessary for you to hide it away so carefully, and you wouldn't be punished for it either. But Achan could not take anything, for Achan is dead. What does Achan have of his gold and silver now? Nothing. Nothing. Achan is now in hell, which is the result and the fruit of sin. It was for Achan eternally, eternally too late. It is not too late for us, for we still are alive. It is still possible for us to be converted. You often ask for that, don't you?